Well, a very blessed welcome back to Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Thanks for staying along. I've been telling you about the special guest that we're going to be having as Pastor Nabil Noor from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Armour, South Dakota. And it is a pleasure to welcome him. Pastor Noor, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm really blessed, dear brother. I thank the Lord that I'm alive on April Fool's Day, and I can serve Him and shout the glory of heaven to the ends of the earth.
Yes, and you are doing just that, and remarkably well. I appreciate your calling in. I listen to you when you call in on the Bible study, and appreciate your very fine comments there as well. I am wondering, as I think about your background, I know a little bit about it. How did you become interested, and how did the Lord lead you in becoming an LCMS pastor?
Well, let me just give a little bit more background.
Sure.
I migrated to this country at age 16 without any English skills. I was born in Nazareth, grew up in Haifa, right on the slopes of Mount Carmel, and raised as a Catholic. And living in the old country, because this is now my new country, but living in the old country as a Catholic, and yet we lived under Jewish government. So my father would work from Sunday through Friday, and Saturday was the only day that he would have off. And so we really did not go to church that often. My mother did not know how to drive. B, we did not have a car. And there was like eight of us. Not like there was.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we did go, but not as often. Now, I went to a convent of Nazareth, a parochial school, Catholic school. And so we did have chapel every day. But I was so young that I don't really, excuse me, I don't remember much. But it wasn't until I came to this country that someone asked me, what is it like growing up in Israel, the home of Jesus Christ? And that was just like just brand new revelation. And when they found out I was from Nazareth, they would say, what does it feel like? I said, well, I don't know. It feels like I was born there. That's all.
And that's
never
good.
Never really unpacked all of that. So then I was here as a 16-year-old. I didn't have a car. I didn't have any family except my older brother. And he was working. And so the young ladies would invite me to go to church. And I went to churches I've never heard of before. Assemblies of God, Wesleyan Church, Reformed Church, all of these people, okay? And through their tone, they would always say something about the Catholics that really I did not like, because A, I was a Catholic, and B, I didn't understand why. Because back home, there's nothing else. That's all there is. We have Catholic, but we have different branches, but that's all there is. Anyway, just wanted to study more, and I began to study, and then I realized why there was such an animosity that I had never heard before about the Basilica in St. Peter's Square that they wanted to build and work righteousness and all of that. And it was at one of the churches that I was attending, the Assemblies of God, that for the first time I heard about the gospel.
Wow. Okay.
And I start crying. Literally, I start crying. And so it was one of those unbelievable blessing that just opened my eyes, and I really became infatuated with the scriptures. I don't want to use the negative term infatuation, because I was really dug deep into the scriptures, because I never read anything. I never read the Bible in my whole life. And then I would read it every day, and then I called my dad, and I said I wanted to be a priest, because that's what I was. And my dad says, come home, we need to talk. So I flew home, dad picked me up, and for about an hour on the drive of an hour and a half or 2 hours, he never said a word. And just when we got close to home, he turns around. Actually, he looked in the mirror, and he says, son, why do you want to be a priest? Don't you want the son to call you father? And I told Dad I wanted to serve God. He said, well, honey, you can serve God in many different ways. And so I had that in the back of my mind, and so Dad kind of talked me out of it. But while I was there, I had a wonderful opportunity to witness to my family. And my dad asked the question, and I'm going to quote him by saying this to you. He says, Nabil, you left here as a devil, and you came back as an angel. Son, what happened to you? And I said, Dad, grab a chair. Let's have some coffee. Let me tell you about Jesus. And so I began to tell my father about the Lord. Not just the Lord, but my Lord and my God. And so that was the beginning of the seed that was germinating in my heart through the power of the Word. Then I met my wife to be at that time. She was my girlfriend, and she happened to be a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And for a whole year and a half, we went back and forth between the two congregations, Missouri Synod Church, Mount Calvary in Huron, South Dakota, and the Assembly of God Church. And I really liked our Assembly of God because it was charismatic, it was movement. They put the Bible in my hand. And when we went to the other church, I was like, well, gosh, this is just like the Catholics. No, it's not a Catholic. I said, yes, it is. And to make the story short, she says, well, if we are going to get married, we have to make a choice which church we want to go to. And she says, well, I can't live with yours, meaning the Assemblies of God. And I responded, okay, I will try to live with yours. And as I went to that church, thanks to the wonderful God-given gifts of the Spirit, to the pastor on staff, Pastor Paul Schwann Sr., he is now sainted in heaven, who took me through adult instruction. I'm a very young man at this age, 21, I believe I was at that moment. And I would always ask the question, why? Show me. Tell me. Why? Show me. Tell me. Anyway, I went through the class. I became a member. And shortly after, I was asked to be an elder. I said, wow, this is nuts. Got involved with the youth group. I was one of the youth counselors. Loved kids. And then we moved from Huron to Sioux Falls, and there were seven different churches, and we decided, my wife and I, by that time we've had two children, my wife and I decided to attend all of the churches to see which one we would like the best. We went to one and never went anywhere else. The pastor was gracious, Pastor Grundermeyer. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pastor. You ask him, what are you going to be preaching about today? He says, God and His Word. Every time he would say the same answer. And so anyway, I became involved in that church. God has a good sense of humor.
I'm sure He does. Yes, I know
and,
He does.
Here is what God has that you don't see, okay? This is the magnificent majesty of God that we do not see as human beings. And I call it the divine sense of humor. That Sunday, when we went to the church, this one church, to see that, and hold on just a minute. Anyway, when I did that, the pastor said, "What do you do in? What did you do at the church?" And I told him I was involved in the church. And he said that, well, guess what? The counselors for the youth are leaving today. We're having farewell for them. Now, go figure. Here I'm coming in, and they are leaving. And he says, how would you like to get involved with the youth?
Perfect timing there.
Mike, you talk about perfect timing.
Yes, indeed.
And at that moment then, it was God ordained. I served in the youth group for 5 years. And I had an assistant by the name of Tom Macau. Tom Macau is Elisha to Elijah, or Nathan to David.
Oh, wow. That describes it.
He was that kind of a man. After he watched me for about 2 to 3 months, he would say to me, he says, you know, Nabil, you really should become a pastor. And I would just say, shut up. I don't want to be a pastor. I'm content with my job. self-employed, five guys working for me. No, not interested. This went on for 5 years. The pastor that we had, Pastor Grundermeyer, retired. We get a new pastor. His name is Howard Chain. He is installed, and then about 2-3 months, he says, Nabil, come and talk to me, and he talked to me in the office. And I thought, what did I do now? So I go to the office to see him, and he takes his wallet out. He shows me a picture, and he says, I want you to go to this place. I says, what is it? I've never seen it before. It was the Luther's Tower in St. Louis.
Aha, yes, I see.
And he says, Nabil, I've been watching you. I have seen how God is using you. You will be great asset to our church. I says, oh, Pastor Shane, that's not for me. He says, pray about it. Never said anything to my wife. Never. I just kept it quiet. Didn't do anything. And then later on that same year in the fall, Terry Dittmer had come to Sioux Falls, to Minneapolis, for a youth retreat. And during that episode, there was a young man who was trying to commit suicide. And I stayed with him until I was secure that he was not going to do so. Went back to my hotel room, got down on my knees, and I wept. And I said, dear God, if this is really what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I'm not too excited about it. And did that. And came
wow.
home, and I said to my wife, honey, I've decided to go to the seminary. And she said, it's about time.
Well, it's great to have a supportive wife, isn't it? I mean, to have
yes.
a wife that will pray for you,
and
pray with you.
I said, what are you talking about? And she says, don't you remember? I says, remember what? When we had the mission fest, and the pastor kept looking at you. I says, he did? And you know, it seems like St. Mark, that God was talking to everybody around me, and I was just deaf.
Wow.
And finally, I says, okay, we will do it. And here is another one of those ironies of God's divine sense of humor. It is this. I thought, well, we should go to the Fort Wayne Seminary, check that out, and then go to the St. Louis Seminary and check it out. And my wife says, you know, why go to the furthest one? Let's go to the earliest one. I said, well, let me at least call them. So I called Fort Wayne. They did not respond to my request for anything. I called the St. Louis Seminary, and the guy was so delightful. He took all my information and hung up. He says, I will make sure somebody will call you back so quickly. You just stay put, okay? So did that. No longer had I hung up the phone, the gentleman calls back, and he said, Mr. Noor, may I ask you a question? I'm not really supposed to be doing this, but can I ask you a question? Do you have a brother by the name of William? I says, yes, he's my younger brother. He says, oh my gosh, you got to come to this seminary. He happened to go to school with my brother in Sioux Falls.
Oh, what a coincidence. God-given. Yeah, God-given coincidence.
Sense of humor.
Yes.
Anyway, and the rest is history. He says, you come down here, I will help you. And he surely did. He got me assisted. And ever since, I've been just on cloud nine.
I can understand that. And I have had the privilege of reading several of your sermons that you have sent to me. They're just absolutely wonderful because you communicate through stories. You apply scripture to the individual's lives so very well. So obviously, the Lord led you into the holy ministry, and we're so very grateful for that. One question I wanted to ask you before we talk about your tour, and that is, you hold a position with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Would you like to mention just a little bit about that, what you do?
I am the regional vice president of the Great Plains region. I am the fifth vice president. I'm an assistant to the president.
Wow.
In other words, whatever the president desires of me, it is my privilege, an honor, and blessing to do that on behalf of my president, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison. And it's just so humbling. Here is a little boy from Nazareth, and a Palestinian at that, and yet working among pretty much German, you know, German background, congregation. Again, God has a very good sense of humor.
Yes, he does. Have you noticed that?
Yes,
you obviously have.
Yes, I have. And so in that regard, what I do is pretty much attend the meetings. I pray a lot. I pray for my president and the presidium. I pray for our synod. I pray for all of the COPs by name daily. I ask that God will use us as a beacon of light to a dark world. And whatever my president, desires of us, we are to be of his support. And so I am the Great Plains, which means I have 8 different states that I am the vice president for. Uh-huh. And one of the privileges I've had so far and still having is to visit these districts. And I've been already to Montana and northern Minnesota. Next week I head to North Dakota, and then in June I have Nebraska, and then South Dakota, and in September I go to the southern Minnesota. So I do have a little bit more travel, but I try to work ahead of schedule to do so. And I should say one thing to the saints who are listening who don't know much about our synod or our president. We have a president who's very humble. He's very gifted. He's very scholar. And he really loves the Lord and loves the church. And my first meeting at the Presidium, having been elected as the vice president, one of the vice presidents, was when we met in the president's office for devotion. And here's what Pastor Harrison said. Gentlemen, I'm not much on meetings, but I love to read the Word of God. So let's get the Greek Bibles out, and let's go through that. And we did verse by verse. And when I got stuck, Pastor Harrison was so kind. He said, Brother Nabil, don't worry about it. Just keep plugging along. You probably could outshine us in another language. And he smiled. And so that was my first experience, to really sitting at the feet of Matthew Harrison and the rest of the Presidium. And that just set the mode for me in my mind about how can I be a partner with these men serving the
Certainly.
Lord God Almighty.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that the Lord has brought you to the Presidium as well, and working under Pastor Harrison and the others that you work with, it makes a neat team indeed. And we've got about 5 minutes or 6 minutes left here. And why don't you take just a few moments with your Palestinian background? You are in a unique position to lead a tour. And just sketch for the listener a little bit what they can expect were they to go along with you on this tour.
Well, thank you for that introduction and for this invite. One of my greatest joys, dear brother, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And I do it, of course, on many different levels. Quite frequently, I'm a guest on KFUO. This is the first time with you, and I'm hoping it's not the last.
Oh, I hope not. That's for sure. I'm enjoying it.
I do the Bible our time, the Bible study. I really enjoyed Ask the Pastor. I love that program. Sadly, it's no longer there, but that's the choice they've made. That's fine. And then I do, of course, my ministry here, and as well as the Presidium and all of the like. But the uniqueness of the tour is this. The uniqueness of the tour is this. Because I am from that background, A, I know the culture, B, I know the language, and C, I know the customs, and D, I know the scripture. So what I normally tell people, what is going to happen is we're going to take a snapshot of what you have read, because everybody that reads the Bible reads it with a snapshot, okay? It's a still photo. And what I say, when you come with me, we're going to make this as a video. And it's going to be in color.
Yeah.
I'm going to fill in the gaps.
You're going to make it come alive, right?
I'm going to make it come alive.
Yeah.
And so these moments of joy for me are the things that, the things that helps me communicate with people. How do these works in and among us, okay? How do these things convey the message of hope? How do we share the love of Jesus with others through the scripture? Not just because I know the word, but because I know where they were spoken. And why does that make a difference? You know, there is an old saying in my language is that if you want to know anything, don't ask the doctor, ask someone who has experienced it.
Oh, how true. Indeed. Okay? That's right.
So, you know, a doctor can tell you the surgery is going to hurt if we do this, if we do that. But if you go and talk to someone who has actually had that surgery, they will tell you in details what transpires. That's how I come in. And for me, it isn't so much as church hopping from one place to the next. We do that because we do go to see the places. We walk in the places of Jesus. But the epitome for me and the highlight for me is this, that I reveal to them the scripture. Number one, I talk about what Jesus done. Secondly, in every location we go, we have devotion and we have a hymn sing.
Oh, that's marvelous.
What happens when people come back and they are sitting in their churches, they will call me and say, you know, Pastor, we were reading the scripture, and I relived that moment with you, and tears began to run down my cheeks. It is that profound on the lives of these people.
Wow. Can you give us, we only have 2 minutes left here, can you give us the particulars of how people can either sign up for it or get further information and how
they can become
a part of it?
I will. They can call me at my office at 605-724-2489, or they can contact me via email at Nabil S. Noor. That's NabilSnour at hotmail.com. And I'm sure if you are kind enough, dear Mark, if you can put it on your site as well, maybe people can go that way. It might be easier for them to get the link or something.
Certainly.
Like that.
We'll take
but
care of that.
That
sure.
would be an easy way to communicate and to convey the message to the saints.
Excellent. Now, what are the dates, Pastor Noor?
October the 20th through November the 1st. And the total amount for the trip is $39.90. And that is inclusive of everything.
Airfare, the whole works.
Everything.
Yeah. Wow.
3 meals a day, not two. Drinks on the bus as far as water is concerned, your tips, your entrance fees. The only thing that you're responsible for is souvenirs as well as any liquor if you want to drink.
I can't imagine a more reasonable price. I mean, just taking a trip by car with your family for a vacation for a couple of weeks is going to be at least that much. You know,
we went to Ohio last July, my wife and I, and we spent over $800 in that week just
wow.
in hotel rooms.
Wow. Now that and it all adds up.
Well, add up the gas then too, you know.
Sure.
But this tour originates right out of Minneapolis.
Okay, great. That sounds fabulous. And, well, it fits right in with your lifestyle, Pastor Noor, traveling around as a fifth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm sure some of those trips you have to fly, some you drive. So
Correct. You're
on the road quite a bit, that's for sure.
I am now, but, you know, I am the co-pilot. My pilot is Jesus.
Yeah, what do you think of those bumper stickers that say, God is my co-pilot?
No, I don't like that.
I don't either. That is so wrong. That is just
misleading. It is so wrong.
That misleading.
Is so correct because, again, man wants to elevate himself above what
okay.
the Scripture teaches.
Okay, we're out of time here. Pastor Nabil Noor of Redeemer Lutheran in Armour, South Dakota, also fifth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks for being along.